Hello, everyone. Let's wait maybe a couple more minutes and we will start shortly. Thank you, Vivian, for letting us know. I have one consortia-related questions. I will make sure I ask at the beginning while you are here. Let me share my screen with the agenda. Can you see the agenda? Did I share that correct screen? Can please someone confirm? Thank you. So let's start then. As always, please add your names to the list of attendees. Thank you, Corey, for volunteering, for taking notes today. But we definitely need more volunteers. If someone is willing to take this responsibility during following meetings, that would be great. Thank you, Corey, for your note in the chat. Jennifer, do you want to mention the announcement from the PC?
Yeah, sure. Well, as you know, Product Council is looking at the top five priorities from each SIG and our working group. So we're obviously a working group. So thank you, Kathleen. I just got those in for ListOp, and I was wondering, and I know we're a working group, but I'm sure PC would still like to hear from us. And I wasn't sure, especially Magda and Kathleen, if you wanted to attend PC and kind of share these goals, or I can go to an upcoming PC meeting. And it's probably going to be like, late October, November at this rate. But and all it is just 10 minutes saying, here's our top five priorities. So that was my question for the group. I can definitely be there, and then I can schedule it with you, Magda, and Kathleen, or whatever is convenient.
What is the expert? So with the presentation of the functionality, what is the expected outcome? That the feature is presented so that PC Council know, Product Council knows what is entailed, or does the Product Council give some feedback, approval? What's the goal of the presenting feature?
Yeah, so the goal is approval. I think the PC just wants to make sure that everything that we have everything we need. If we need any support that the PC can help with, we can ask at that time. And then l the larger goal really is to, from to understand these priorities and then help the PC integrate that into a vision portfolio, as well as a more, a more holistic roadmap, because that's, the PC looks to folio as a holistic kind LHS, no, Library Service, LSP, sorry. I'm working too many withholding records lately. Any LSP. So I think it's more to update PC, and then if we need PC support on anything, we can also ask at that time.
Great. On the bulk edit side, I think by the October, we all will already have the performance improvements in place and the creating profiles already implemented. The token support and scheduling jobs are scheduled for Umbrella Leaf, but I can attend the meeting, or I can, if you can present the features, whatever works for you, Jennifer.
Yeah, and I can present as well and then report back here as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Kathleen, how do you feel about lists?
Yeah, I'm happy to attend and or present or just be present. Really, whatever works best for you, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'll try and find a date that's kind of at this rate more like November. So we're also busy. And then, I'll share it with both of you. And of course, anyone from this working group who wants to attend, please, you're welcome to do so. PC meetings are open to anyone.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. I would like to move to the next agenda topic. We will talk today mostly about bug edit. There is one functionality that overlaps with lists, which is querying repeatable fields. And the agenda is full, so I'm going to start quickly. And I will start with item statuses. We've been talking about the adding support for additional field, the additional item statuses for several meetings. In the past, there are a couple of JIRAs requesting extending the list. The list is, oops, this is the list. This is the list of currently supported fields. And also during the meetings, I noticed there was we didn't get the consensus what statuses should be supported, because it depends mostly on the flows implemented by libraries. I talked to Jeff developers what we can do, and they suggest that we can create an API that will update those statuses. What I learned from them that in the bulk edit form, we have internal table that looks exactly like this one that I'm showing you here, that states what status from what status to what status to which status we can support the updates. We could build the API that will allow each library to adjust the list to your needs. So from one library may be able to add more statuses for in process if they need that. And that will not be applicable for other libraries. I'm thinking about API because first of all, it's quicker to implement. And I don't know if we want to expose this functionality through UI, because implication of such changes are significant. So now my questions to you: how do you feel about implementing such a functionality through API? And do you think that having this with the UI would be also helpful? Go ahead.
Yeah, hey Magda, thanks. This is a great question. Because I'm not sure if I'm the one that raised it, but because I was trying to, we do have a a whole missing that goes to lost and paid and then withdrawn Which I think is similar to what other libraries do. And that's when I noticed that if it's lost and paid, so it's already been dealt with financially, there is nothing in bulk edit that I could do to change that item status to withdrawn. So I think having the API is great. Exposing those APIs is really important and makes Folio powerful. But I really want to advocate for a UI solution because many of us either, don't have the skills to work with the API, or it is something that is discouraged. Especially like here, only our systems librarians are allowed really to use the API. And that's, there are many reasons for that. So, even if we know how to, we have to use the UI. And I think, some of these processes, maybe we should look at what processes are really kind of common between libraries in terms of changing from one status to another that aren't supported currently, and maybe add those to the UI.
Okay, couple of questions. Thank you, Jennifer. First of all, how often would you be adding or modifying the items? Will this be a frequent frequent function? Like, will you be changing or adding statuses frequently, or this is one time?
Oh no, so I talked to our billing person just the other day about this, and she mentioned like if we could have a workflow, which we don't currently, it's kind of jumbled because now we have to get stuff through LD Lite, and so I have to do the changes through data import, and so it's kind of it's a bulky kind of process. But if we had something more streamlined with bulk edit, then we would do this every single month, at least for the lost and paid. We also, yeah.
Jennifer, I'm not saying about updating status from, let's say, in transit to something else.
No,
I'm
this would be
talking
from
about
lost and paid, yeah.
or loss in paid. I understand that those jobs you will be executing frequently, but how often will you be modifying the list of soup? Let me close this list of supported statuses.
Oh, that no. I mean, I think, once we have what we need, that would be very, I mean, that would be irregular. We'd only change it if something was really missing it. And in fact, it's not something we would probably want to do. We would probably, ask that it be added to kind of like the UI rather than the API and be part of like the regular flow rather than an exception, if that makes sense.
Yes, so I'm sorry I wasn't clear about the APIs here. What I mean about the APIs is to have an API call that will add the values to this table, the table that you see right now. And once this table is updated, once through API you added additional statuses, then every user who has permission to do the bulk edit has the list of available statuses for them. So you modify the table once in a while, or once ever, or once the need occurs that you want to support additional fields, additional statuses. But once you updated the table of supported statuses from two, then those statuses are available in bulk edit UI with no need of doing any API calls. Is this now clear, or it is still confusing?
One question, and just in general,
Mm-hmm.
Mike. When status right now, they're in the regular settings, like for example, what shows up on what statuses can be if I want to change a status on a record right through the inventory app or however it gets changed normally one at a time. Don't those those permissions don't carry through the other apps.
So this is a good question, because right now in Folio, in bulk edit, in addition to bulk edit permissions, so you have permissions to edit item records, you will need to have the functional permissions that you have in inventory. So that I need to investigate. Okay, we are adding the list of supported properties, but you will the user who will run the bulk edit will need to have the same permission to make the change. This is what you're asking for, right?
Right. And like what the permissions can be changed from this to this? There's not already settings for that outside, I mean, outside of bulk edit.
So this is the question for those who are more familiar with inventory statuses, item statuses. Can
Yeah,
you
I
give
mean,
me an example?
the gist of my question is why, if there is a place that whoever is managing the institution's folio can make the changes, these changes, why would there need to be a separate API to do it just for bulk edit?
So right now, I don't think those changes for bulk edit, if you want to add another status, you would need to release a new version of the code, because those changes are so deep. The table that I'm talking about that exists in Folio is not accessible through APIs.
Okay.
So this API will need to be written. So even the hosting team does not have access to it until we create the API. Right now, if you ask me to add any other status, we would need to modify the code.
Okay.
But I see Vivian has hands up for a while. Go ahead, Vivian, and I'll talk to other I'll go back to others. Go ahead, Vivian.
Thank you. I'll try to make this short. An API is better than no access whatsoever. But ultimately, I would like to see something like this in the Folio Settings app. But again, I mean, I'm not anti-API as opposed to anti-access entirely. But again, yeah, long term, it would be great to see something like this in the settings app rather than having to do it via API. As I said in the chat, APIs are beyond the majority of my constituents. And so, yeah, but you did point out that this is just to make changes to the table, which is not what I initially thought the situation was. So yeah, in a very not very concise way. That's my opinion.
Vivian, I have another question for you, though. This is the consortia question that I mentioned on the beginning. Do you think such changes of the supported item will may dif be different for each institution without a consortium, or do you think it should be driven by a central office?
I feel like inevitably they're gonna have to be the same across all subtenants if the consortium in question is using OpenRS. What we found is that differences in inventory settings tend to break OpenRS because of the mapping. So I would say, I mean, it would be great for each subtenant to have their own options as far as being able to customize their own settings, but that would need to be in a situation where they're not using OpenRS. And so for the time being, I mean, I can only speak for my own consortium. For Mobius, we would need this to be standardized across all the tenants.
Okay, with maybe option in the future to make it
to
Each
make it.
institution dependent.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Jennifer was first and then Sarah. Go ahead, Jennifer.
So definitely agree with Vivian that, you know, having the API is better than nothing. But I'm wondering, you know, some of these statuses are linked to circulation as well as financial kind of considerations. So, I mean, how will the API handle that? So if it's like aged and lost, for example, and you know the library says, oh, we can change that just to available, but it has a pending transaction on it. I mean, well, I guess I'm wondering, will there be any warnings or anything for even for the API?
No. So one of the reasons we implemented the limited list of statuses was because of the implication of changing to some statuses, like you mentioned. If we allow this functionality through APIs, those who will take advantage of it will need to be aware of consequences. So there will be no error messages. This will rely mostly on users, that users knows what they do.
So Jennifer and I were oddly enough thinking along the same lines, right? So the item statuses, what you can go from to is controlled very often by business logic. That's what we've always been told, right? And you can see mm-hmm. that, especially around in process or from going from on order, then you go, if you receive it, it goes to in process, and then you still have to do certain things. You can't go, you have to make it available before you can make it missing, for example, and so forth. So if the API is just going to, so it sounds to me like you're saying the API is not going to take care of the business logic aspects, but simply overwrite it and make it so.
It's not overwriting. We are talking, when we are talking about API, Sarah, we mm-hmm. are talking about what will be available in the dropdown. So, for example, if we do the if we are here. And we have the item status. What will happen? You have this list. You have this list created by default. Using APIs, you modified the list. So you added some additional status. The API will take whatever you will tell to populate the table. You will tell from what status to what status it can be happened. So the user, someone else, not someone who is executing APIs to populate the list, is executing bulk edit job. And now the list contains more options. So let's say we added additional option for in process. So in process does not change, we have here. But then when the bulk edit job is being executed, and right now the system will tell you, bulk edit system will tell you that if the item is in such and such status, then in process is not supported. When we implemented API, and this additional process will be here, this warning will be suppressed because that will be defined by your API call that this is supported.
So in a way, so Okay, so one thing that we're not seeing on your table there, the image you had, your other screen, thank you. So like on order is not on here at all, or is it just down further and I can't see it? I'm sorry.
Like I don't think we are
so
working
we can't
on order.
We can't from currently we can't make something that's on order any other status, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can't move it to in process, for example. And then
exactly.
What do you and what does next in process you have missing and withdrawn with little asterisks? What does that mean?
They were added in Ramsons.
They were added in Ramsons. Okay. So if we so it sounds to me though like it would be better to run bulk edit twice if we can always get from A eventually to C. If we know if we go to B first and to honor the business logic, it sounds to me like that would be better.
But this is something that a couple of or few weeks, a few meetings ago was brought up that you don't, not you, Sarah, but the community or those who are attending the meeting don't want to do multiple jobs. They want to do it in one job. So you don't need to run the API to modify the list. You can live with the list as it is. And then
well, no, because the list that doesn't have on order, for example, included. Or what is the status that we need, Jennifer, paid and long missing or paid and something?
Lost and paid.
Lost and paid. Like that's not there to get to something else. Right, like so all the statuses are not there to get to eventually to whatever you need to get. Like there has to be a path to always get to where
mm-hmm.
you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see Vivian has my hand up. Go ahead, Vivian.
Thank you. Well, see, now I'm concerned because it sounds like what we're saying is that, okay, and unfortunately, I can't really give really good examples. Circulation is a little out, is pretty much out of my wheelhouse. But for things like aged lost or lost and paid, there's business logic that underlies these status values to where they would only be assigned under very specific circumstances. They'd be assigned automatically by Folio rather than something that is manually set, etc. But if we're saying, well, gosh, we're going to allow editing this table via API, and it will take whatever we give it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will add those values to the list of possible edits in bulk edit. And the message saying that that particular value isn't suppressed, isn't supported, is going to be suppressed. So it does seem like we are opening the door for maybe folks who don't know what they're doing as well as perhaps they ought to break Folio. And, you know, the Magda, what you said is, you know, we're not putting any kind of fail safe in there. We are just going to rely on the people using this to know what they're doing. And I mean, that's a very noble way of thinking about it, but I tend to be a little more cynical. And my suspicion is that somebody who doesn't know what they're doing is going to change this table and allow their users to do something that breaks Folio. And I have a real concern about that.
Yeah, I completely agree. It seems like most of the bulk edit use is for regular inventory records. This is bulk editing of settings. And if there's bulk editing of settings, you know, whether there's a bulk edit feature for that or not, it needs to be limited to the people who are responsible for updating settings in general, not to people who are editing the inventory records. I mean, the you know, like the instance, the holdings, the items. It's two different kinds of things.
Yeah, I think I know where you're coming from, Peter. I'm not sure that it's accurate to say that you're bulk editing settings, because the settings change is being made via the API. But yes, you are bulk editing things to values that normally are set by Folio, not by actual users, and that troubles me.
Yeah.
So a comment about that. We have a specific permission or authorization rule in the Eureka environment for accessing settings. So this is not the case that everyone who has access to bulk edit functionality will be able to modify the settings. So this is one point. This is a separation of the settings from the functionality. I hear you, what you are saying, that would be too dangerous to let user do changes through APIs, even through APIs. I was hoping, because when we talked last time about adding additional statuses, we did not get consensus. Not all libraries agreed about implementing some additional functionality, some additional statuses. And I'm sorry, I don't have examples, but this is in our notes, and I can find it after the meeting. So I don't know really how to address the issue, because on one side, I hear from you, you want to have more statuses. But then when I'm giving you option to make it more flexible so that the libraries can decide what statuses that they would like to support, you are saying that actually this is dangerous. And then I start to feel whatever we implemented is meeting your requirements. I either don't understand something you are saying to me, or there is, I don't know how to progress, how to move from here now. Do we leave it as it is? Or what are the next steps?
Well, I was just trying to find places. I don't have access to the parts of Folio, the Folio settings for a lot of things. But, you know, just like statuses, you know, having bulk edit locate, able to say bulk edit locations, that might be great. And of course, through APIs, it would be, you know, I think that would be fine. I think this would be okay if it was just an API, because the only people who are going to use that would be the systems people, the people who, I mean, I don't know how it is for most libraries, but, you know, a lot of people are not accessing things through the API here. But the people who manage our Folio do. You know, we wouldn't want people being able to just bulk edit locations unless that was, unless they were responsible for, you know, updating settings and, what available values should be, in any, given, field. So, I mean, like you're saying, if the interface, whether it's an interface or an API, if there's still control over who can execute the changes, that seems fine. But it has to, I mean, there has to, we have to be able to have that kind of, that fine tuning of permissions. And if that's the case, then I guess I'm not sure how this would be any different than any other form that somebody who does have permission to say change locations, except that they wouldn't do it one at a time. It would be the same people, but they would have a form to do it in bulk, or if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know if large amounts of specifically statuses need to be bulk changed like this. And I think that might have been the, I don't know if that was the point of your initial question, Magda. Like, how often will we be bulk updating, you know, multiple status things? I mean, if you're going to add four things,
No, this, my initial question was how often you will be modifying this table, the table that will tell you what statuses you can update and to what status you can change it. I probably am not communicating it clearly. This table.
No, Magda, I think you are. I think where you're feeling that we are suddenly changing our mind on you is that I think sometimes, well, I wasn't at the other meeting, so maybe I would have raised the exact same issue then too. But I think sometimes having it presented in one way and hearing a discussion then raises questions in one's mind, and then those get, you know, and different people are attending the meeting and may bring up different points. So I think you probably are getting are legitimate in feeling that you're getting mixed messages, right? Like one time you're told this and now you're told this, or you're hearing this, not told. I think that's a lot, but I think that is part of what is good about this process, right? Is that we revisit it and we go, oh, in the meantime, I've had this experience with Folio, and now realize that if I just jump from this status to this status, I would be skipping an important status in between that actually has consequences. And realizing that that maybe just saying, oh, please just give us the power to do something is maybe not the easiest way. Maybe we do have to be forced to honor the business logic by having to run the bulk edit process multiple times, like going from, you know, this status to this status and from this status to this status, because there would be something occurring by doing it, by moving the statuses through the business logic flow. My other point was to things that Vivian and Peter were saying is that actually I don't feel always that just because you're the systems person or the person who is like overseeing things for the consortium, are you also not always in the position to realize how corrupt you can make something by ignoring the business logic or what even the business logic is. And also these things change constantly. So again, going back to you saying, Magda, oh, how often would you change this table? Well, it could be with every CSP. It could be with every new release, right? Because things are constantly changing underneath us and having consequences. There are all these things that suddenly I can't do, or suddenly I have to wait for CSP6 and ransoms, or I have to, you know, and so maybe it could be that something would have to be changed and then changed back, right? Things like that. So I think in the scheme of things, it is not so easy to keep track of all the business logic in Folio, because it's not necessarily always well documented. It's not always very clear. Some of it is so far back in the you know, darkness of early days that very, very few people are even still around who know why the business logic is what it is, especially around item statuses, frankly.
Well, When I said systems people or whatever, I didn't mean just systems people in general. Like whether we have Folio or we had Voyager or we had, you know, things managed on paper, whether or not something can be changed, you know, you can change the status of something. That's a decision that's made by, you know, more than one person. Probably, I mean, in different libraries, circulation experts, and so it's not. I'm not saying that what to put in each column is a function of the people who have access to it. It's a function of the library's management. So however that's being done before we have this bulk edit even exist, before bulk edit even existed, Shouldn't it just work off of that process?
Right. And so that is basically where I'm going back to, is that we should be honoring in bulk edit, we should be honoring whatever the business logic is that is Folio. But we need to have to be able to completely get from one status, possible status, to the ultimate status we want it to be in. We need to have available to us the steps to get there. And so, and that is not realized with this table, for example, right? So the whole thing with the age to loss thing is not here, or how to get something that's on order to being, you know, missing or something like that. Like, we need, I think that would be personally more important to me, is to figure out how we can get all the statuses available to us, but while honoring whatever the business logic is. So it doesn't mean that I want to be able to bulk edit on order directly to missing. I will honor that I have to go from on order to in process to available and then missing. Or in this case, it looks like I can go straight now from in process to missing, right? So, but I think honoring the business logic is really important, because too often already it is so hard to untangle things that happen in Folio. And if we now then start monkeying around with the business logic, just because we don't want to have to run bulk edit twice, I think that would be a real mistake. Thanks.
So just to make sure, if anyone else can also mention, are you okay with running multiple jobs if you have to progress through several statuses of items?
I definitely am. I can't speak for everybody, but I definitely am.
Yeah, I am too. I think, sorry, Sarah, you said it very well. I mean, it is a reiterative process. And I think, at least, you know, speaking for myself, we did, you know, the lost and paid was done manually until very recently, when we started to explore more ways of doing it by batch. So, you know, I think the statuses that we associate with that process weren't really on my radar until recently as well. So, and that might be the case for other people, but I really think it's important to have the discussion of what the consequences are, because sometimes I don't know. You know, I'm not an acquisitions person. And I don't work with the circ logs that much. You know, I'm a metadata person. So, but being aware of that, I think is very useful, and I think it's needed to make an informed decision. And, you know, I know maybe libraries do things differently, but we should be able to find consensus once we know the consequences, or, you know, seek consensus as much as we can.
Thank you, Jennifer and Sarah. Does anyone want also to add something to the statuses before we move on to the next item on the agenda? I'm going to table the conversation about status item statuses. I have to admit, I was thinking this would be a quick 15 minutes conversation about statuses. I do understand that APIs is not a solution to this. We will need to have a further conversation what statuses should be supported, and if everybody is okay with multiple paths, like multiple runs of the bulk edit of the same records to get from one status to another. We will get to this later. I know we will not cover what I was hoping to cover today, which is the deletion I will try to squeeze, but the querying repeatable fields will probably need to move to the next meeting. A quick note, we will have several UATs coming, probably after WolfCon, most likely after WolfCon. Nobody wants to do the UAT during WolfCon. We will cover the bulk edit profiles, something we talked in the past, setting records, instance records for deletion in bulk, and querying repeatable fields. So I will start with the demo of the setting records for deletion. We have 14 minutes left. I hope this is enough. If there are things that are unclear, there is a documentation that I put together, and it basically covers all what I'm going to show today. I'm going to drop the link to it in the chat. As you see, the status is ready for review. I would appreciate if you can review the document and let me know if there are some things that are unclear or needs to be added. Any comments will be highly appreciated, because that would make the documentation better. So in chat, there is a link, and I'm just going to walk you through the functionality of setting instance records for deletion. We have two separate features. One is for Folio instances that were created in Folio directly, or for the instances with source mark that were derived from MarkBeep records. So let's start with query instances. Please, if I'm going too fast or I'm omitting something that is interested for you, please stop me at any moment. So I'm in query. As always, you can identify the records either by identifiers or query. For now, let's use query. And we will search for records with source mark. We have three records. Let's run the query that is populating the list of matching records in bulk edit. And now let's start editing records with source mark. To set the records for deletion, the option is under administrative data, the same way as it is done in inventory. And we added option set records for deletion. So let's set records for deletion. You need to select action, which is true. You don't need to make any additional changes. You can add if you want to administrative data, but let's for now, let's set only records for deletion. Confirm the changes. And on Are You Sure form, you'll see that not only set for deletion is set to true, but also staff suppress and suppress from discovery. This is the same behavior that is in inventory. You can also here see the same records in CSV format, or download the MRC file. And you can see that the leader of five for this records is set for those records is set to D. And the third record. Also the 005 is updated as well. Those records are still not committed. This is the preview only. Once we commit, the records will be set to set as deleted. Before I do that, though, I wanted to bring your attention to the behavior of suppress from discovery and staff suppress flags. Setting for the record for deletion, automatically sets the two other flags. But if user wants to add those in the bucketed job, and let's say we have selected stuff suppressed, it by default sets to true, and there is no way of changing it. And the same behavior is for suppress from discovery. And if there are underlying holdings and items, they will be automatically set to true as well. So let's remove this for now.
And Damir, can I just ask a
yes,
question
sure.
there? So when you have the third one, the set for the discovery one, and then it showed holdings and items also being suppressed from discovery, is that then also the case when you just use set records for deletion, set true? Does that automatically then suppress holdings and items too if they're?
Yes. So if there, if we have this, and we have records set for underlying, if the record that you are deleting has underlying holdings and items, it will suppress them as well.
Okay.
So let's continue with the process. Right now, we are again on the Are You Sure form. We have flags populated. We are committing the changes. And the records have been updated. I need to mention one thing: to conduct the deletion of the records, user will need to have additional permission, the same permission that is in inventory to set the records as deleted. We are reusing the permission. So if the user is allowed to set records for deletion in inventory, they will be able to do this in bucketed. Users without this permission will not see set for deletion option. Let's do a query here. I think, am I in the testing? Yeah, they are set for deletion. You don't see them anymore here. One, so let's reverse the change. In the logs, we can, we see the job. This is the job we have just completed. Let's download the records with the file with the identifiers of the records that were updated. Let's navigate here. Instances, we select user UIDs and we will grab the file. And we see the suppress from discovery. We can select the flag stuff suppress and set for deletion. All of them is set to true. Now we will reverse the changes. So we are selecting the option for set records for deletion. And this time we set it to false. Now I want to show you the behavior of two other flags. How will this happen? What will happen with suppress from discover and stuff suppress. So the flag for deletion is removed. It's set to false. However, suppress from discover and stuff suppress remain the same. To make those changes, to make the changes to those two properties, suppress from discover and stuff suppress, user will need to make to specify those properties on the bulk edit form. So if I select suppress from stuff suppress, I need to select if I want to set this to false. And the same for suppress from discovery. select this to false. And once we are selecting to false, we have option if we want to apply this to holdings and item records. Confirm the changes. But we see everything is false. The leader should be updated as well. Leader is set to current. Leader of 5 is set to current. So we are good with the preview. Let's commit the changes. So this is, let's navigate to inventory. And we have three records. This concludes the demo for setting MARC records. The MARC instances, folio instances behave exactly the same. If we want to set them for deletion, this all is documented with the separation of the folio instances and the instances with source MARC. And I think that's it. I don't think we have time. We have 2 minutes left. This is definitely not enough for repeatable fields. I see Kathleen posted some additional information. Kathleen, do you want to speak up what they are related to?
Yeah, thanks, Magda. So the first one is a link that goes to a simple Google form. That I'm looking for people's expectations for being able to join different record types. And so that form is just to get some understanding. And then the second is a link to a wiki page on adding the Boolean or not operators to the query builder. And if you're able to add any use cases you have to that page, I've already added all of the ones that have been shared with me. And so if people are either willing to add their use cases to that page or send them to me, I'd be very much appreciate that.
Thank you, Kathleen. We will talk about repeatable fields next time we meet. For those to going to Kansas, have a great stay in Kansas. Enjoy the area. I will be joining WolfCon remotely. Kathleen will be present, and she will be busy with my presentation. So I'll see all of you again after the welcome. Thank you all.
Thank you, Magda. Thank you all.
Thanks,
bye.
Everyone.
Thanks. Bye.